Hello, I'm Peter Cowley, and I manage a little classroom of the future in West London called The Ingenium. The name was given to it actually by the students of Greycourt School. There are actually two Ingenium, or Ingenia, I suppose. One's based in a primary school and one's based in a secondary school. And what I'd like to do over the next few minutes is just tell you a little bit about what the place is like and what it looks like and how we use it and the way that we're headed in the future. That's what it looks like from the outside. Let's have a think, first of all, about sort of brief history of how the thing came to be. How did we actually get here in the first place? Well, we started out as part of the Classrooms of the Future initiative, which was quite a few years ago now. And as part of that initiative, 12 local authorities around the country were invited to bid for some money to build one or more classrooms of the future as they actually saw it. What we wanted to do with ours was very much to have a physical space that was innovative but made the most of the potential for new types of building materials and design to actually produce a complete standalone new building that could address the needs of a modern learner. We wanted it to be replicable, and in fact it is. For a relatively small amount of money, you can make more of these. We own the moulds, and it's relatively inexpensive to cast a new one if we wanted to. And it's also pretty flexible in terms of the way that it's designed. We asked the experts, those companies helped us out very much in terms of the concept of how the whole thing hangs together. But in fact the real experts, it won't surprise you to know that in terms of a project like this, the real experts of course aren't those companies. The real experts are the children and the staff of the institutions, because they really know what it is that they want to do in their own building. So Capgemini, Ernst & Young, were extremely generous to us in facilitating a number of sessions with the children and with their teachers to think about what it was that they wanted in their classroom. So, well, it's probably a good idea, first of all, to... One of the things that we had to do was to get what I call the bake-o-fall stage out of the way. I don't know why it is, but it always seems to be that everyone has this perception that in 30 years' time, or 40 years' time, everyone's going to be walking around in silver suits. So we had to get that one out of the way, first of all. But once we got it out of the way, it was actually quite interesting to see the sorts of things that they were talking about. We got straight to the learning with the children. That's what it was all about. It wasn't about the toys, it wasn't about the technology, it was about the learning. One thing that they said that they didn't want in their classroom of the future was effectively a shoebox with corners, a rectangular room where the furniture was set out and fixed, and if you tried moving the tables around you got into trouble, and you're supposed to stay in your 50 centimeter by 50 centimeter imaginary square around you, and if you stepped outside of it you'd be in trouble. The sort of things that they wanted, well, interestingly enough, you'd probably never guess what was top of the list of what they wanted in their classroom of the future. It was actually a toilet. Top of the list of what they wanted was a toilet. And if you think about it, it actually makes sense, especially if you've been in anywhere near a secondary school, you'll know what stress the state of the toilets can be in a secondary school situation. But of course, it wasn't just that. They also wanted a lot of light, they wanted colour, they wanted space, they wanted air, they wanted to be able to move around. They also wanted computers and stuff like that, but it wasn't top of their list, interestingly. They were much more concerned about the state of the environment and the quality of the environment that they were actually going to be working in. So, let's kind of take a bit of a virtual visit into the classroom to give an idea of what it's actually like. That's the view from outside, with the front doors completely pulled back, as we in fact do like that in the summer or when the weather's nice, so you can actually spread out into the decking area outside. Moving in a little bit, that's the one of the whiteboards in the room. It's a curved, very sort of panoramic whiteboard, not interactive, interestingly enough. None of the whiteboards that we have in the classroom are interactive. You can write on them, you can wipe it off, you can take pictures of what's on them, but they're not interactive as such. And we haven't actually found that to be an issue, which is quite interesting. Now, one of the key aspects of the design of the room is that it's zoned, colour-coded and zoned. And this is a view over on the right-hand side as you're looking from the front entrance. We've got a gold zone and a red zone. And we flip over to the other side, you can see a bit of the blue zone there and also the purple zone. So it's very much lends itself to group-based activities. Because everyone's facing everyone else, then it's very much lends itself to cooperative type of activities. And what we have found is that very much the students are much more on task, much more of the time. And the reason that we think that is because they are accountable to their peers for much more of the time. Because if a group knows that in 5 minutes' time they're going to have to explain to everybody else what they've been doing for the last 5 minutes, then it doesn't half concentrate the mind, because their peers get fed up with them pretty quickly, standing there going, I'm sorry, I haven't done anything. They have a very low tolerance for that. So in fact, it's kind of self-managing from that point of view, and is actually quite effective. There's a view back to the front entrance with the doors closed this time. And if we just go up a little bit, I forgot about that slide. There's a view showing you just about the only control panel, which can control the ambient lighting and which bit of the room is highlighted and stuff like that. If I just show you a view of a bit more of the roof there, acoustic sponges in the ceiling to keep the acoustic not too lively and quite natural. These blinds are movable here, automatically adjustable or manual. The lighting is daylight balanced. Daylight balanced lighting, very important. There's a lot of natural light in the building anyway, but it was extremely important in terms of the feel of the place that the lighting in there is daylight balanced. And it's also dimmable, which is unusual for fluorescent tubes. Daylight balanced, dimmable fluorescent tubes, so we can create quite a range of different sorts of environments and atmospheres inside the room, even when it's broad daylight. We've got very good multimedia and audio-visual facilities, as you'd imagine. You can see some little speakers there. The audio is also zoned in the room, so if Red Zone wants to have some sort of audio or audio-visual presentation to show to the rest of the group, they just plug their iPod or whatever it is into the side of the classroom, and it'll just come out of the audio in their particular zone. As you'd expect, it's wireless, it's all wireless, and it's all battery, because we don't want any cables and stuff all over the place. So it's a minimum amount of fuss in the room itself. When the students come in, they put all their stuff under the flip-up seats around the outside, put their coats around the back, so there's no clutter in the room at all. A design decision that we made about the classroom, which I can just mention actually, is that we deliberately don't have a class set of furniture, which might seem a bit of a strange thing to do. There's about 22 seats, something like that. The reason that we did that was that then the students will be forced to think about how they arrange their space to suit the learning that they need to do. Because there are 32 fixed seats around the outside of the classroom anyway, which are the flip-up areas. So they would then be forced to think about how they arrange their particular area to suit their particular needs. So they set themselves up, then go off and get whatever technology they need, the cameras, the laptops, or whatever. Okay, the sorts of things that we're doing, well, it pretty much covers every curriculum area, but because it's a cooperative environment which lends itself to students being able to report back to each other in very much in an ongoing a plenary type of way, it's a very effective way of getting that sort of learner who's more kinesthetically inclined to be able to perform well in front of the other students and to be able to demonstrate that they have learned. And in fact, in the summer when the weather's nice, we even throw the doors open and have a concert too. So it's quite a flexible space. We can do a lot of performance type of work in there. And in fact, we've been doing a lot of video type work too. Here's just an example of a Latin class that was putting together a play that they'd done in Latin. They didn't have the funds and couldn't be bothered, frankly, to build a set for it. So they just found some good backdrops off the internet. And there's a ghostly image, a scene from one of the scenes that they were doing from the play. And of course, they were performing it actually in front of the green screen that you can see there. So we did quite a lot of video-based green screen work in there too. Okay, well, what sort of things are we finding so far? Undoubtedly, learning happens faster in this environment. You can be much more efficient in terms of getting through stuff because you get the results back quicker. There's no doubt about that. That applies to both the teacher and the students. If you're on show, if you're accountable, it tends to mean that you're also on task. Again, because of that peer pressure effect, there's no doubt about it. On show means on task. But interestingly enough, the key innovations in the classroom are physical ones rather than technical ones. Nobody ever leaves that classroom having seen an activity there going, well, of course they can do that because they've got this, this and this, so they've got 25 laptops or whatever. Well, we have. But the sorts of innovations that we found are actually to do with the arrangement of the furniture even. Things like, you know, giving yourself permission to move the tables around in your classroom. They're not bolted to the floor, so why treat them as if they are? So it's simple things like that, thinking about how can we arrange a classroom so it's more cooperative, group-based, and able to reflect those sorts of tasks. Okay, well, where we're going with it, undoubtedly, almost like everybody else, in a personalised learning agenda, we're thinking much more about mobile types of technology. I couldn't resist getting an iPhone in there, actually. I know they only came out a couple of days ago, but if Apple's listening, I wouldn't mind a class set of those. Okay, here's a quick question for you. Three pieces of technology there on the screen, a ballpoint pen, calculator, and a mobile phone. Obviously, they're all pieces of technology, but what else do they have in common? In an education context. Any thoughts? What else do they have in common? All right, I'll tell you. They've all been banned, or in some cases are still banned, in schools in one way or another. When I was at school, ballpoint pens were banned. Why? Because they were thought to be bad for your handwriting. Probably when you were at school, calculators were banned. Why? Because they were thought to be bad for numeracy. And now, of course, we're busy banning mobile phones in schools. Why? Because we're terrified about the effect that could have on students, and because it's unknown to us. It's not that well understood to us. Take away a mobile phone from the average 14-year-old, and you might as well cut their left hand off. Because it's that intrinsic in terms of what it is that they can do with the technology. So rather than being afraid of it and banning it left, right and centre, what we should be doing is embracing that. Well, that's the next stage for us. That's what we want to do. We want to be able to take these devices and find out good ways of using them to support learning in the curriculum. So we want to move from being an innovative physical space, which we undoubtedly are, to also building up our web presence and becoming an innovative virtual space. There's not a lot there at the moment, but feel free to have a look at the website, which is www.ingenium.org.uk. It's very much an under development, but we are going to very soon, HonestGov, be putting a load of stuff up there about the sort of things that we've been doing. And we'd love to see you. So, get my details. There are some flyers over there about the room, and I've got a few over here too. Feel free to take one with you, and contact details are on the back, and please get in touch. We'd love to see you. Thank you very much indeed.